if we get the service right, or we get the product right, or we have a decent benefits package, whatever it is, the people will be fine. They're fine. They're fine. They're getting a paycheck. That's just not enough. It probably never was enough.
At least not anymore.
It probably never was enough, but
that's
certainly is not enough now, where keeping people like compliant and productive was good enough. Now it is about clarity, trust, alignment. It is about being authentic. And these are not like buzzwords that some next gen QVXZ is like, oh, they're changing the workplace.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Rachel Platt. She brings 20 plus years of experience in helping organizations and individuals achieve enduring success, not just your everyday success, enduring success, through strategic human resources leadership. And as a certified Women's Business Enterprise, WBE, I feel like that should have like a cool nickname. Platinum serves small and medium-sized nonprofits and commercial businesses across the U.S. of A in areas of employee engagement, leadership development, culture assessment, and improvement. You got to assess and then improve. Otherwise, you're just like, hey, our culture sucks. Cool. Now we know. Performance management, staff training, communications, talent acquisition, HR process improvement, inclusion, and coaching. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you for having me, Kenny. That was quite the mouthful.
It's there's a lot there. You're kicking names and take. I think I said that wrong, but we'll leave it.
We'll leave it in.
Screw it. We'll do it live. I'm channeling my inner Bill O'Reilly. Well, I'm excited to have this conversation with you. We have a lot of overlaps in the type of work we do and who we're helping. And so it's always great talking with somebody who shares some similar passions. But tell me today, Rachel, what is on your mind?
So today, this week, for a long time now, but what is on my mind is this growing gap between what leaders say, what they say they value, and what their teams, their employees actually experience. Especially during times of growth, times of transition. There's a lot of uncertainty happening in the market right now. And many leaders are unintentionally breaking trust with their team. And it's not because they don't care. At least I hope it's not because they don't care, but it's because they haven't taken the time to be deliberate, to actually align their actions and how they're communicating with what they claim their culture is. And that's costly and avoidable. So that's what's on my mind. That is how I am spending my time. Lots of my clients these days are asking questions about, I'm struggling to attract. I'm struggling to retain talent. We're always starting with, well, what's it actually like to work there? Why do you think that is? And so that's what's on my mind. That's what's on my client's mind these days.
Gotcha. I think that's probably be an always and forever issue for leaders to face.
Yeah.
Is that integrity between their words and their actions, right? That alignment piece. What, again, and I say this quite often on the show, is it always fascinates me when smart people such as yourself, they're spotting something, they're making money off of it, which is good. That's just like smart business. There's got to be some sort of like underlying thinking, belief, prevailing wisdom that makes this worth offering services to change, improve, right? To assess and improve, right? What do you think is sort of like below the surface? Yeah, I hate to be cliched with like the iceberg metaphor, but it's a good one. What's below the surface that allows this to continue? Because I think if you talk to any high-level leader and say, hey, do you think it's a good idea to say one thing and do another? I go, like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Get out of here. But it keeps happening. Yeah. So what's underneath that?
I think that people are moving fast. I think that very often leaders have been sitting with information for longer than they have been communicating it. So they have had a chance to process whatever the change is, what's happening, what's needed. And by the time they get around to communicating it, they have lost some of the compassion, some of the ability or knowledge that the research shows you need to communicate in multiple different ways, different formats, different people, multiple times. There is no conflicting data that is out there that says, oh no, somebody misunderstood. You can do it once and everybody immediately gets on board. So people, they forget. And they're in a rush and they want to do good work and it just doesn't happen. But like you just said, like nobody's saying, I think it's a really good idea to be a jerk or to not communicate well. But remembering that the best leaders ask more questions than they speak. The truth is, your team, they don't need you to solve all the problems. They don't need a hero. They need someone who listens, someone who learns, someone who can adapt, someone who can help to remove barriers or obstacles. That's what a leader does. So just asking or saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. What do you need from me to be successful? That one question has saved time, money in terms of retention, money in terms of stopping the swirl or the gossip or the drama when there's something going on in an organization. And it builds trust. So let's do it.
Right. It sounds like there's a lack of maybe thoughtfulness or just intentionality around that. Like I've been guilty of this. Just like I'm moving fast and I'm shooting from the hip. And I'm like, you know what? It's going to have to be good enough. And in certain circumstances, I think we could all give some grace and understanding to that mode. But when that becomes the default, then it's almost like you don't care enough to slow down and pause. And I think some of that comes from a story that or a narrative that leaders tell themselves about the urgency of everything. What has been your experience with that?
Exactly. I mean, yes, and yes, to be honest. We do tell ourselves if we get the service right, or we get the product right, or we launch this, or we have a decent benefits package, whatever it is, the people will be fine. They're fine. They're getting a paycheck. And that's just not enough.
Right.
It probably never was enough.
At least not anymore.
It probably never was enough, but
that's
certainly is not enough now, where keeping people like compliant and productive was good enough. Now it is about clarity. It is about trust, alignment. It is about being authentic. And these are not like buzzwords that some next gen QVXV is like, oh, they're changing the workplace. This is something that people of all generations are saying, I'll do better work for you. The more you invest in me, my knowledge, my understanding of anything, the more I'm going to invest back in my best thinking, my best work, my highest contribution. So,
yeah, in several conversations with leaders around this, I tell them I have certain tools. If you'd like, I can send you PDFs, or we can work together in a coaching relationship, or I'll work with your team. And inevitably, and I'm sure you've gotten this too, because you work with the it happens in the for-profit world, but I find the nonprofit leaders say this more often, which is, well, we're different. And I just want, and I always tell them, it's like, yes, you are special just like everyone else, but I think there's things that work simply because of our humanity.
Yes.
And as much as we like to think, well, we're evolved and all this stuff, like, humanity's not terribly different over the last several thousand years. Like, our needs, our wants, our desires now, how they get expressed, what we have access to, what it looks like on the surface may be different, but the motivations are relatively unchanged.
The research backs that up. My personal experience as a leader and my personal experience as a consultant all back that up. And remember,
if that's so timeless, why aren't we doing it? If it's that timeless, if it's that proven, then what stops us?
I think we get in our own way. I think we all, you mentioned stress, urgency, pressure. I do think that there's some, we think we're so special and unique when we're not. But I also think that some of it does have to do with where we are in this time and place. The uncertainty in the market, the news cycle that we are in, the post-pandemic environment, AI, all the things are making us just grab at different things. What's the right solution? What's the right solution? What's the right solution? When ultimately, most of the time, the right solution is being a good human being. The right solution is going beyond the bare minimum of what the law requires. But it is about creating a broader culture of people understanding what is appropriate, what is acceptable, and what's not acceptable, and holding people accountable for that. Don't let someone be a jerk. Don't let someone belittle someone for asking a question, for saying they don't understand the purpose of something or how this will add value, whatever the case may be. There's a million examples.
Right. They're making it psychologically unsafe.
Correct.
Which means that you've just, not only have you screwed up this moment, but you've now made it so that it's far more difficult for feedback, input, good ideas to come forward in the future, which ultimately reflects on you as a leader, because their success is your success, right?
That is absolutely right. And there's a lot of leaders that are out there that still think what we're talking about right now, this is woo-woo. This is not science.
Yeah.
This is science. This is the science of the future of work. This is the science of industrial psychology. There is science to how humans behave in the workplace and what motivates people. And recognizing that the same things that motivate you do not motivate other people. Just saying that 100%. Money is the only motivator is shocking to me, that in 2025, somebody is actually still saying that. But there's people out there who believe that. And it's fascinating. Yeah.
There's a great clip. I was having this conversation with a client a couple of years ago, and he sent me this clip from Mad Men, and he's a great salesperson.
Yep.
And so, like, he is money motivated, but he was also like freedom motivated. He's an entrepreneur and all these things. And And he sent this to me as just a funny illustration where one of the main female characters is showing John Hamm some work or something like that. And he just barely acknowledges it and sets it aside. She's like, "What? You never say I have good ideas or compliment or thank me or these things." And he goes, "That's what the paycheck is for." I do like the what he followed it with is like, "You will pay your dues. You will get your congratulations, your platitudes, your all these things later on. You're coming up. You're just beginning your career. So don't expect everybody to just like fawn over you." So I do think that there's some truth there. But the notion that well, that's what you got paid, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, then you've been thanked it's not good enough. And like you said earlier, probably never was. But I think society and workplace culture are not willing to tolerate that narrative anymore.
So
now go ahead.
We could talk about this for hours, but you know, I was on another podcast the other day and we spent a lot of time all over the place. I gave lots of different suggestions. And at the end, he's like, "What's the one thing you would tell someone to do?" And honestly, the one thing is find someone to compliment. Find someone to be deliberate, intentional, specific. "You did X in this particular situation. It resulted in Y. And here is the Z that is going to become the outcome. And here's why I appreciated that." We talk so much about giving constructive feedback, but giving reinforcing feedback. I mean, I hate to say this, but like if you have a child, a dog, a coworker, a colleague, someone who works for you, positive reinforcement is the ultimate motivator. It is the ultimate, I want to feel valued. I want to feel appreciated. So take the time to compliment someone. I disagree. I mean, I agree with you about the great example from Mad Men. But anyone at any level, from the most senior to the most junior, hearing that somebody notices and acknowledges that you've contributed, and it's not just your effort, but the result also, absolutely hold people accountable. But sharing with somebody that you appreciate them, that is golden.
100%. I heard someone say it this way, and it was catchy, so it stuck with me, because I need those sort of things, because otherwise I'm like, squirrel.
Yeah.
Is celebrate what you want to see repeated.
Absolutely.
And if the wrong things are being repeated, you need to figure out, like, why do we keep doing that? And why are we not repeating? Like, we did something good. Okay, great. Like you said, with my kids, I forget that. Like, I'll speak up when there needs to be a correction or they're not doing their chores or something. But when they do their chores, which I think is, like, some taking out the trash or whatever, some basic responsibilities, like, hey, you're not having to pay Jack to have a roof and food and all this other stuff. Like, you should be, I don't know, this is going to get a tangent and maybe I'll get canceled. But I've started thinking, it's like, you know what? It's like, I need to make sure with them, even though, yes, there's a lot I take care of for them that my wife and I do, and we love them dearly and we care about them. And as I think any good leader, I think you should care for your staff and your direct reports. And I know some people feel weird about the word love. Go read some Bob Goff books and it'll change your mind. And then you'll also fall in love with balloons. But if I tell my son, like, hey, thank you for taking the trash out without having to be asked, or even if he was asked, or I noticed
he did
something nice.
You did it the first time,
nice,
not the 97th time.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, we could have a third podcast episode just on that. So I love that. And I think that is an easy thing to do. And listeners, go back, just listen to Rachel gave you just a great format for how to bring that up. It doesn't have to be this awkward thing. You're not being a coy person. Like, you're not asking somebody on a date, like, maybe would you like to go get a drink? Like, hey, you did a great job on this. You created this result. And it's also an opportunity for you to tie back their effort to, like, what is their role in the story of the organization? Because people, they want to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to know that they matter. That hasn't changed since the beginning of time.
Nope.
And so if you can quickly, briefly, in 10 seconds, communicate that, you may never think about what you just said again, but I guarantee you that that person who was on the receiving end will remember it. There's things that even my wife has said to me years and years ago. We've been together for 18 years, married for 16. But there are some moments where she said something that she probably, if I brought it up to her, would have no memory of, but meant a lot because she just said thank you or expressed gratitude around something that I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I was going to do this anyway.
Right.
Like,
but that nugget that touches just, your heart, touches you, makes you feel seen, makes you feel like you have contributed something. To take the time to be intentional. One of the things, I don't know who said it, I'd give them credit if I could remember, but culture is always being shaped, either by design or by default. And so when your leadership isn't intentional, they're still happening. Things are still being built. And so therefore, when you can be intentional, it makes such a significant impact. And like we see it with our kids, we see it in ourselves. Just those nuggets make a difference. Somebody used the expression the other day, show them that the thread that they're on create the entire masterpiece of artwork and how it worked. And I really just, I liked that phrase.
No, I love that. Again, that's part of the you know, positive reinforcement, motivation, knowing that this thing that I do, if I am the most junior person, this thing I'm doing on the front lines, all I'm thinking about is technically being proficient at this one thing. I may have no idea what sort of impact that makes on our customers.
Right. How is
that? Or what it makes on. And or somebody else in a different department or maybe in another location in another city. But if we as leaders who get the benefit of that perspective, sometimes it's forced on us just by nature of our position. If we can say, hey, let me elevate your view a little bit and show you that when you did this, it impacted over here and here's the thread and all of that. It builds something up in you. Something I wanted to ask you is, do you think that sense of urgency, which I think a lot of people would default to, and there's a great quote about excuses and certain human anatomy, but
it took me a minute, but I got it now.
There you go. You'll get that on the drive home.
Gotcha.
But do you think, is that urgency real? Or is it manufactured? Is it situational? I've been thinking a lot about that lately just for myself because they ask me, like, how are you doing? And my usual response is, I'm going mock Jesus with my hair on fire. But lately, I've been really working on slowing down, being present, which is really difficult. I'm actually very comfortable going mock Jesus with my hair on fire. And I think a lot of other leaders are too. But it sounds like that maybe some of that's manufactured. It's just between your ears, or because the world is advancing faster and faster, is that sense of urgency founded on something real and we just don't yet have the skills and tools to become aware and combat it?
I never thought about it this way before, so this answer may be a little bit all over the place, but I feel like a lot of this has to do with what the workplace was like when each of us or any individual was first starting out. When I was starting out, there was a lot of emphasis, way more emphasis than should have been put on the amount of time that you had FaceTime, the amount of time the amount of hours that you were putting in. And I think I had some really wonderful bosses who could prioritize and help me to prioritize, that I had a few who I would not say were at Mach 10 at all times. I would say they didn't have their act together. And like, so everything was a fire drill. And so, yeah, everything became really urgent. And I was rewarded, and many of us were rewarded for responding to that and putting in that time and get her done, as we used to say. And and that still is important, but knowing the difference between something that truly is urgent versus something, I mean, in my line of work, nobody is dying on my watch. I am not an ER doctor, a brain surgeon, a firefighter. I'm not saving somebody's life most days, any days. So like, let's balance it out a little bit. I still believe in a four-box model of urgency and importance, and putting the things on when I'm really struggling and my hair is on fire.
Yeah.
I just jot down a couple of notes for myself and I say, okay, here are the things that really need to get done. And here are the, just not everything is urgent, but it, like you, I'm not always that, I'm high energy. I'm go. But I have honestly learned, and I think this comes with a little bit of experience and a little bit of like been around the block a few times. When my hair is on fire, I don't want to be the boy who cried wolf. I don't want my team to think that I truly think that everything is urgent, because then when something really is, we're not going to respond in the right way. And so I've been really trying to modify my own stress or not show my own stress for things that I want it some way, but that doesn't mean that it is actually urgent.
Right. I think people go back, clip that, replay that.
I hope it makes sense, because that was really off the top of my head.
No, I loved it. Yeah. I mean, because I'll use the phrase like, if everything is X, then nothing is X.
Yeah.
Like, if everything is urgent, then nothing is urgent. And I think that that does communicate something about like, oh, we should prioritize. But I think you really articulated well the, I think the real danger there, which is your team won't know how to respond or won't actually give it the urgency that it demands. And then real damage is done to reputation, brand, revenue.
It's also just like, we can't be working at stress level gazillion and burnout, running the race a million miles an hour every single day. It's just not sustainable. Nobody can do their best thinking that way.
Right. Over the last couple of years, something that's helped clarify that for me is thinking about professional athletes. And I love sports. I grew up playing them. And so I know some people have issues with sports metaphors, but if that's you,
it's
then
not in the courthouse.
Fantastic. But if that's you, the listener, get over it for this part of the conversation. But if you think about a pro athlete, they perform, whether it's football, it could be soccer. I'm not going to get into baseball. I'm going to anger some people, but you only have certain moments when you're at high performance, right? There is a time when you need to be on, you're in the show and you're going. But then there's a time where it's lower energy and we're practicing, we're improving skill sets that will be helpful. And we got to build the muscle memory with lower pressure so that when the pressure's on, we can default to the right thing. There's also structured rest and recovery, right? Yep. And they do that so that every time you come back to where we need the high performance, you're able to do that. So even the people who, it's just, I think, more visible, these athletes are, I mean, they're incredible. Like, what they've been able to achieve with the human body is just, like, crazy. Like, speed, strength, agility, like, all these things. But even for all of the hard work and the ability and the genetics or whatever you want to count it towards, they're not sprinting everywhere. They're not lifting the heaviest weight every day.
Correct.
They're not executing at the highest level every day. And so I really do think there is a false urgency. And I think it is on the leader to be the one who can calm the waters and say, hey, I know the pressure's on. Here's where we focus. Let's push over this domino. This is the most important.
Yes.
Everything may feel urgent, but only a few of these are actually important too. Let's push that over. Or to grow up in terms of, like, your example of early on, you get rewarded for speed and responsiveness. And that's all well and good, right? Like, you're hustling, you're trying to make your name, career stand out from the thousands of others that could be considered for your position. But that feels a bit like, as you move up, it feels a bit like a relic. Like, it's a trait misapplied.
Yeah.
Like, it worked really well here. Great. I don't also need it here.
Correct.
It's almost like debt. It's like skill debt or something like that. I don't know. You and I could probably brainstorm a better word for this. But again, this is straight off the dome. But it is a, like, a form of debt of things that we've just, like, okay, well, that worked. Cool. I'll put this in my bag. And then something else works. And you throw it in the bag and you keep hauling it around in your bag of tricks. Instead of reevaluating, going, I don't know that I need this one anymore. It served me well. You got a Marie Kondo. Thank you for your service. And then put it in the giveaway pile.
It is very much sometimes you have to realize that what got you here is not going to get you there. And that's not to say that we don't have urgent things at work, even if it's not life or death. But I think bringing it down a notch, being real about what is going to truly move the needle, what is truly going to have an impact, and not letting the noise get in the way is a real skill. And it's something that so many of us need to constantly be working on. Goes along with learning how to say no or not yet, or how to say, I see that this is really important. I have these other priorities. Which of these do you want me to drop? These are all things.
Such a good question.
That you have to learn. And some people are naturally really great at them. I can talk a great game. Personally, I'm not so great at them, but I am working on the skill.
Yes.
I know what needs to be done. And, like, we all have to get over being people pleasers, and these are all things that are not going to serve us well as true leaders going forward.
So let's talk to the leader listening that goes, yeah, you know what? This has been me. I've been going mock Jesus with my hair on fire, just trying to put Band-Aids on bullet wounds and make the best of it. And as you've heard Rachel and I talk, we've been there and sometimes still get there. So we're not saying that never happens, but if somebody wanted to be more intentional with their leadership, with their feedback, what's something that they could do to take a baby step in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money to improve that part of their leadership if this resonated with them?
My favorite technique, if I could only teach one thing forever, the thing that I think works the best is start, stop, continue. So what that means, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, ask yourself and ask a colleague, your team, a direct report, your spouse, anybody. This can be used in any type of relationship. What is one thing that I could start, stop, or continue doing that would help you to do your best work. Then listen. Then listen, because it is low cost, high impact way to build trust, to surface what your blind spots may be. You don't need a big program. You just need the courage to act and then respond with action. And there's a lot of ways to use this. It's a great general feedback tool. But just send to somebody, what's one thing I could do? And maybe their answer is going to be, stop running around like your hair's on fire every day. Who knows? That could be the one thing that they want you to stop doing. But that listening and taking action, reflecting back on it, and inviting dialogue, you asking them, you offering for them, hey, here's one thing that you could do that I've noticed that you could start, stop, or continue doing that would really make you more successful. It's a gift.
Absolutely. And if I may add something to what you're saying,
because
start, stop, continue.
Yes, and
it is one of my most favorite exercises to ever do. When they're delivering their feedback, shut up.
Yeah.
And you don't need to explain anything. You just thank them for the courage to share that with you, because there is a power dynamic, whether you want to admit it or not, that tilts heavily in your favor. Is you thank them for sharing that with you, and then you may tell them, hey, let me think on this, or I need to process a bit. Could I come back to you with some clarifying questions to make sure I really took in what you had to say? But don't go in, oh, well, see, the reason I was doing that is because of this thing and that thing. Like, you just took the air out of the room.
Quit it.
Yeah. And I get where it's coming from. And you may not feel like you're defending yourself, but it will come across as defending yourself. And so in that moment, you're not only receiving the feedback, but you're playing for future moments where you want to have a well-worn path between you and your direct report to continuously get that feedback. By the way, if that goes well, they're going to talk to their peers about this. And suddenly now you've got better relationships with your whole department and not just this one person, but it starts there. I just wanted to add that because, one, I've been guilty of that so many times, but I've seen that wreck. Like, people hear that advice, they go for it, and then they screw it up on the back end. So I don't mean to, like,
that fabulous advice. And that's exactly what we were talking about early on with being intentional in your leadership.
Yeah.
Being thoughtful. These are things that we don't realize in the heat of the moment can be detractors. I joke all the time, no good deed goes unpunished. So that's a perfect example of you were trying to do a good thing of asking for feedback, or somebody was being courageous to give you this feedback. Now, just take it in and be intentional about how you respond, even if your head's about to explode on something. Just be intentional. Right. It will make for better personal or professional relationships every single time.
Absolutely. Well, Rachel, this has been a fantastic and timely conversation. And so I hope a lot of people will re-listen to this and get some really practical ideas that could, they're free, easy, and will transform how things go. It's not woo-woo. It's the secret glue to great performance. So if people want to know more about you, more about Platinum Consulting, any of those things, where would you send them?
Well, you can always find me on LinkedIn. I post on people strategy, leadership, silly things that happen on LinkedIn several times a week. You can check out my website. It is platinumconsulting.com. Platinum is spelled with two T's, like my last name. You can shoot me an email. I actually read them and respond. Yeah, it's a novel concept.
It is. It's unique. I just have AI read and respond to everything.
How's that going for you?
You know what? Actually, pretty well. I think people like my AI better than they like me. He's nicer. So, well, Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. I hope to have you on again in the not too distant future. And we will link up all those different things on the show notes so you can go and check that out. And to the listener, thank you so much for sticking with us. We hope that this was not just educational, but fun. And we hope that you come back and that you share this with other people who might need to hear this message. Just don't be a jerk about it. Be like, you really need to listen to this. You can be like, I liked this and I thought you might as well. And that'll just take the sting out of it. But like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the action is on your platform of choice. I'd greatly appreciate it. Leave a comment. A review. Those sort of things give me feedback on what future conversations and guests that I find. But your interaction also gets us in front of other leaders who are on a similar journey as you. And that's a free and easy way to just pay it forward and help your fellow leader be better. Because you never know. That person may be your boss one day. They may work for you one day. And wouldn't you want them to be a little bit better than they are right now? I think the answer is yes. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead.